offer many kinds of services, and big church has lots of people that the people enjoy the overwhelming atmosphere. Or a lot of people think that a big church is better, but they cannot tell why. They cannot tell in terms of what the big church is better. Now, some of the people don't like to go to the big church, don't like to go to the small church because they are afraid of serving. Okay, they want to just hidden inside the congregation. So when the service starts, okay, then they are the last one to come in into the sanctuary. And then when the service finishes, then they are the first one to leave, right? Then no one can really notify that you are here. If you have ever think of going to a big church, I invite you to help building this church to make it into a big church instead. Because when you go into a big church, okay, remember that the big church is built from a small church as well. Okay? At a time when you are enjoying the atmosphere in the big church, okay, then behind there are so many people put endless time and effort to make this church big. So if you are the one helping to make a small church to become a big church, when the church getting bigger, okay, you are not only enjoying the big church, but also enjoy the satisfaction of achievement through your sacrifice. Now, when I talk about a big church with lots of people, okay, I'm not just mean the numbers of people. I am aiming at lots of spiritual matured Christian in church. Now, we are blessed by the Lord. God will bring the people to church. This is the third message of the remnants from the Lord through Prophet Haggai. Now, in the past two sermons, I have talked about the first two messages from Prophet Haggai. The first message was the Lord is not happy with these people because they didn't put God's work in priority, or even not worry about God's work at all. These people obeyed to God's word, they put it in action, and God's word comes again. Then the second message from the Lord is to give them assurance, I am with you. God's assurance stirred up the spirit of the remnants and start to work in just 24 days. Then that summarizes the passage of the book of Haggai, chapter 1. So today we are moving on to chapter 2 of the book of Haggai. Now, in the book of Haggai, there's one thing that you can see is very special. Is you will see a lot of timestamp in this book. Every God's message has a timestamp. The first timestamp is at the beginning of the book. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, and this is the timestamp. Then this timestamp tells us that God has been patient enough to wait for these people in action for 18 months after King Darius gave them the green light to continue building the temple. The second timestamp is at the end of chapter 1. It says, on the 24th day of the sixth month. Now, this timestamp tells us that how fast can they put into action. Then now come to the third timestamp at the beginning of chapter 2. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, this is when the Lord presents the third message. Now, there is the time gap between the second and the third timestamp. Okay? Remember that the second timestamp is the 24th day of the sixth month. And the third timestamp is the 21st day of the seventh month. So in between, there is like a month gap right there. Okay. What has happened during this month? Have they done anything in terms of building the temple during this month? Okay. So the answer is, they didn't do anything at all.
Okay.
It is because they are so busy to prepare themselves for the feast. Now, when we get back to the book of Leviticus and Numbers, then we would know how busy they are in the month of July in their calendar. So on the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpet. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blast. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." Now basically, this is the New Year day of Jewish calendar, and it's about September and October in today's calendar. So usually that about the end of September, the beginning of October, okay, then some of the teachers, that if they are Jews, that in school, that they will have a day off. Usually that they have a day off. The loud blast announced the coming of the seventh month as a special month in which they observe the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacle. So day 10 of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. The Lord said to Moses, "The 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourself and present a food offering to the Lord." So this is a big day for Jewish. Followed by the Day of Atonement is the Festival of Tabernacles, which is from day 15 to 22nd of the seventh month. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacle begins, and it lasts for 7 days. Now, the purpose of setting up the Festival of Tabernacle is explained at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 43. "So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Then what did they do during the festival? Now on the first day, that you are to take branches from Luzerian trees, from palms, willows, and other leaf trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So this is a festival. Rejoice before the Lord. A couple years ago, our church so used the Festival of Tabernacle as a theme of thanksgiving. We praise to God for the abundant provision throughout the year. We had big dinner at that night. You can imagine that the 21st day of the seventh month, which is the last day of the celebration, and then it comes with another, the eighth day is the day that they worship. Okay. And that eighth day, okay, that is the 21st day, and that is the finale of the Festival of Tabernacle. So that you can see at that time and on that day, okay, they are also hyper because of the celebration. Now, before we look deep down into the passage, I would like to give you some more background about rebuilding the temple. And when we go back to the book of Ezra, we can see the chronological order of the process of rebuilding the church. Now, in the first message of Haggai, I talked about Zerubbabel let 50,000 people return. The main purpose of returning is to rebuild the temple. But we can see that Zerubbabel was not rushing to start the construction, not even planning. He built an altar for burnt offering, resumed the festival set up by the Lord. The purpose of doing all those are rebuilding the relationship with God. So you can see, Whatever God's work that we need to do, rebuilding the relationship with God is the first priority. With the good relationship with Lot,
okay,
then we are energized to do God's work. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 3, despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built an altar on it, foundation, and sacrificed burnt offering on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Then they started to plan what to do. Okay. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. So then, after the burnt offering, after the festival of Tabernacle, then they start to plan what is the next step. Once they start to plan, then they start to prepare the material and prepare the manpower. Then another 6 months, the manpower and material are ready. Then they start to set the foundation of the temple. Start from chapter 4 in Ezra all the way to chapter 6. Okay? Then that is just talking about the opposition to the rebuilding. The foundation of the temple was set before the halt of the construction. Okay, so this is a little bit background of rebuilding the temple. Then now we can come back to the third message from the Lord. In the book of Haggai, chapter 3, verse 3, ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? It looks like it is kind of discouraging, right? This message is corresponded to Ezra chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. But many of the older priests and Levites and families' heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid. While many others shouted for joy, no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Now I can imagine that the remnants are at the finale of the festival of Tabernacle. They are very hyper, that they have a good relationship with God. They are very excited about going to start doing God's work, to build a temple. But when they come to the construction site and look at the foundation, their feeling are just like coming down from the heaven to the hell. It is because the foundation of the temple is so small, and the building after completion will not be big at all. It is hardly able to compare with the old temple built by the King Solomon. This is the reason why the older priests and Levites and families had cried 16 years ago when the foundation was laid. It happens the same way after 16 years that a lot of people get discouraged when they look at the foundation of the temple. That's why God's message come to comfort them. Now, in the previous preaching, that I do give you some of the background of our church, right? That talking about 4 years ago, in the year of 2014, our church went through a big crisis. Now, before the crisis, that we had 200 registered members and 9 deacons in the board. Okay. This crisis has just dragged for only 4 months. But when you are in the crisis, this 4 months just looks like it's a very long period. Okay. After the crisis, we have had about 50 people withdrew their membership, and all the deacons resigned. Then, on July the 13th, 2014, I prayed on the stage in the sanctuary during worship. When I just looked down to the congregation, that we had only 60 people in the Cantonese worship. There are only 60 people. Okay. Then in English worship, even worse, we had only 10 people in the English worship. So I had the same feeling as the old priests and the Levites and family heads, that I wondered how long it would take to rebuild the church, how long it will take for us to get to raise up the numbers of people in Cantonese and English-speaking congregation. Now, there are two types of people in this passage, Ezra chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. The first type is the older priests, Levites, and the family heads that who cried. The other type is the one who shouted for joy. Now, they cried because they felt hopeless, that they thought that there is no way to have this house in the former glory. Now, the other types of people, that they shouted for joy is because they are young. Okay, they have confidence to build a house and get back the glory. If you were there, would you be the one who cried or who shouted for joy? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Be strong, for I am with you, is a comfort word from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying all we need is the comfort word from the Lord. We cannot say, for the Lord is with me, I can just sit right there and God will fight for me. No, this is not the case. Okay? Don't forget, the most important thing is and work. That you can see, I highlight the work that in red. Okay, that is just a flash it out. Now remember that I talked about battles and blessings in February. No battle, no blessings. We can get through it with Lord no matter how bad the situation is, but you have to work. Now, I just said that I was scared when I saw how empty it was in the sanctuary. Now, the leadership in church decided not to be the one who cried. Okay, we determined to be the one who shouted for joy. So we are courageous to twist around the situation. We make use of the big events such as fun fair, Alpha course, evangelistic meeting, and Christmas celebration to get all the congregation together to stir up the atmosphere. Now, this is very important, that when we are going to holding all those big events, okay, then we can get the whole group of people to come join us to help to make the events happen. Now, the Alpha course, have you ever heard about Alpha course? The Alpha course is a 12-week evangelistic course, okay? That in that 12 weeks, that we have to prepare the dinner for the people to come. And then we have to prepare the sermon for 12 weeks. And then we have to prepare group leader to lead the people for discussion. So it involves a lot of people for this 12 weeks program. So with the fun fair that we open up or we make use of our parking lot that to put the booth game, to put the jumping castle, then we have the market for garage sale. Then we need to involve about 50 to 60 people to get a fun fair work. So in that year, okay, we make use of all those big events to get more people to join, so just to stir up the spirit inside the congregation. Okay. Now, with all those events that we put in, that we use a lot of effort, we use a lot of manpower to make the event work. But at that time, okay, that we don't know what is the result that it will be. We don't know that after the fun fair, after the Alpha course, how many newcomers will come. But this is not our problem. This is God's problem. Okay, because God brings you the people. Okay. When we work for God, we don't need to anticipate the outcome because all what God wants to see is we are willing to work. Okay. God has already promised to us, be strong, for I am with you. 4 years later, in the year of 2018, today we have about 80 people in Sunday Cantonese worship. That is a growth of 33%. And we have around 30 people in English worship, and the growth is talking about 300%, right? This is amazing. Just all because of we are willing to work, and then God will bring the people to us. So a lot of times that we find that, oh, our congregation is so small. Oh, this is such a small church that I would like to go to a big church with lots of people around us with the good music in the worship. Oh, everything looks like it is a lot better. But the thing is, if you help to build a church, okay, this is the kind of sense of achievement that you are going to have. Every year, that in the March break, that we, there is teens conference, right? That we encourage the teens to go to the teens conference. But on the other hand, it is a challenge to send teens to go to the teens conference every year. It is because lots of teen spirit get boosted up by the band, by the game, with the overwhelming numbers of people in the teens conference, that they enjoyed it very much. But we are afraid of, once they come back, they find that the music in worship is so dull with monotone piano only, right? Although our pianist plays piano very well, but it is still lack of excitement because we have a lot less people. So I have talked to the teens who have gone to teens conference. Say, tell them, don't just dream for our church to have the same thing happen. Okay? But put it in action to make it happen. Right? You don't just sit down to hopefully just get good service and everything come to you. No. You are the one to participate. You are the one to make it happen. You are the one to work for it. Many years ago, when I was the superintendent of mission department, I found that brothers and sisters that do not have much idea in mission. So I thought that if we can have a semester of Sunday school has a topic of mission, that it will help. I didn't go to Christian education department to ask for a course about mission. I went to Go International to take a seminar to learn how to make the curriculum for Sunday school about mission. Then I came back to talk to Christian Education, said, oh, I just went to the seminar about preparing Sunday school for mission that I could, and I am willing to teach. So in the following year, then we had a course with 12 classes talking about mission. And tell you what, that was the first time that I teach in a Sunday school that is talking about mission. And that is the first experience that I have the public speaking to teach the people. And today, I am here. So in church, a lot of time that we complain. We complain a lot of things, that we don't have this, we don't have that. Okay, we don't have toilet paper in the washroom, right? So if you don't have toilet paper in the washroom, then what are you going to do? Just tell the superintendent in the maintenance department, hey, there is no toilet paper in the washroom. No, you can be the one to go look for the toilet paper and then put it in the washroom. The problem that you see, okay, is not, you are not the only one to see the problem. But if you are the one to solve the problem, then you solve the problem for a lot of people. Okay. So that we need to work, that we don't just file a complaint. We put it in action to make it happen. This is what God wants us to do. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remained among you. Do not fear. Again, be strong, for I am with you. It is not something new from God. God has told the Israelites since they came out from Egypt. This message appeared countless times in the Bible, but people always forget. This is exactly what the remnants doing. Before they got exiled, they were so proud of as a group of chosen people. They thought that God would not punish them because they are the chosen one. They thought that God will keep his promise to keep them in the promised land. Eventually, God kicked them out. Yes, they were right. They are the chosen one. God gave them the second chance and bring them back to the promised land. And now, when they see the foundation is the temple, it's just like nothing compared to the old one, then they don't know what to do about it. They forgot about how God has helped them throughout the journey from Egypt to the promised land. And they forgot about how God brings them back. That's why God's comfort word comes again. Do we have the same experience as all those remnants? Now for myself, I have been committed to Christ for more than 25 years. In that 25 years, I have never written my testimony before I applied to seminary. Now when you apply in seminary school, that you need to fill up the application form and write up one page of your testimony. Then at the time, when I sit down, that I need to write up my own testimony. Then what you are thinking about is, most of the time we hear others' testimony, okay, that they have such an ups and downs in their lives. Their ups and downs in their life glorify God. The listeners is so amazed when they can see what God has done in their life. But when I look into my testimony, I don't have such ups and downs. It looks like my testimony is not attractive at all. I don't have anything to put into my testimony to glorify God. What should I put in my testimony? So, brothers and sisters, if you find that you don't have any ups and downs in your life and you are the chosen one, actually, that congratulations to you, because you are the lucky one, right? You don't want to go through such a big trouble before you know God. Okay? You don't want to go through all the sickness before you know God. Okay, before you go through all those, that you are the chosen one already. So in your testimony, it looks like it is so flat that you don't have nothing to talk about. But in fact, God's grace is with you every day already. Hey, this is a blessing. A lot of time, we are content with what we are. Okay? We take it for granted. We didn't recognize this is God's work. If we didn't recognize this is God's work, you will forget about God easily. Eventually, you will think that it is all your achievement and you don't need God anymore. So at the time you are getting into trial, you will not know what to do and you will think that you are just all by yourself. You just forgot about for all your flat life, that you don't have to go through such ups and downs, that this is God's blessing. You forgot all about it. So that basically, eventually, you really don't feel God is with you. Then at the time when you are really in trouble, okay, then you will always think that you are the only one to face it. You are the only one to handle it. Okay, where is God? This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this pleasant house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is a passage that you and I may not fully understand. Okay, we don't know in a little while means how long. Right? Just like Jesus said, I will come back, but now we are already waiting for 2,000 years. Jesus is not here yet. In a little while, okay, to God, maybe just a little while, but for us on earth, it's already for a long, long time. Okay. We don't know how the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the dry land get shaken. Then you will think about, is it talking about Revelation? Right. Now to me, it doesn't matter when it will come and how it happens. The most important thing is we have faith that it will happen. So this reminds me a dialogue between me and a brother that couple weeks ago. This brother asked me the vision of Rosewood. I answered him, I want to see the people in Rosewood, in our church, are all spiritually mature so that we are ready for another wave of people coming to our church. Now, we don't know when will God bring us another group of people. If he does, are we ready to take them? This is a good question that you and me should think about it. Okay? We all look for a lot of people, more people come to our church. But even when God gives you another 50, 100 people to come to church, are we ready to settle them down in our church? Do we have enough manpower that to keep the people to stay in our church? If these 50, 100 people, they are new believers, that they don't have much knowledge in Christianity, are you the one ready to talk to them? Are you the one ready to strengthen their faith? Okay. So a lot of time that we want this to happen, but have you ever think about once it happened, are you ready? So that's why we do encourage people that to go to Sunday school, that we do encourage people to go to a fellowship. Inside the Sunday school, we learn more about the Bible. Inside the fellowship, we learn about how to have relationship with brothers and sisters, how to help brothers and sisters. That inside the fellowship, we pray together, that we first have a close connection within our group of people. Then with this group of the people, then we can move on to get more people to come into our group. But if we don't have the good foundation of our knowledge, we don't have the good foundation, have a close relationship with this group of people, then you will be just look like you are the only one in church. Then you are not going to connect with the others. Then you are not able to hold the other 50 or 100 people stay in your church. So are we ready? That we know that what is going to happen, okay? But are we ready for it? The silver and gold are all belongs to him. He can do whatever he wants because he owns everything. Okay. When we are ready, he will bring us more and more people to make the glory of this present house greater than the glory of the former house. So that we, first of all, we strengthen ourselves in our own church. Okay. Then we can get more people. When the people come, that we are able to get them. Yeah. Or we can look at the other way. In the book of Revelation, Apostle John sees all the people in the heavens worshiping God. The heaven is just like a big church. So at that time, the glory of the heaven, that is that at that time that is the present house, for sure will be greater than the glory of the former house. The former house is the church on earth. So when Jesus comes back, okay, in the heaven, obviously it will be a lot better than the church on earth. So it doesn't matter which church, a small church or a big church that we go today, that we have faith that we are all going to join the big one in heaven anyway. Yeah. It doesn't matter that we are going to a big church or small church today, just remember, we need to work together to build His house. Okay? We can help to build a small church to a big church. We can help to make a big church to an even bigger church. I strongly recommend that we all take part of building the church. Okay? This is what God wants us to do, work. To build is not an easy task. Okay? Throughout the process of building the church, we have trials and obstacles. Okay. There is so many cases already happened. It's just because of building a church that a group of people leave, right? Because that they don't have the same idea of how to build a church. When building a church, that they will have the agreement of what kind of projector to buy the Epson or Benkill, right? There is so many little different things that you are going to see that when you are building the church. But the thing is, okay, are we all humble enough getting ready to go through all those trials and obstacles? Remember, God is with you. He will help. Okay? That we remember that we do our part and He will do the rest. We really don't need to put all the stress on ourselves. Okay? That all we know is we are faithfully working for God's house, and then God will take care of the rest. As long as we are all humble enough that to help building the church. So I'm very sure that that one day, okay, the church that will getting bigger and bigger, okay, as long as the whole church are filled with matured Christian in the church, that we are all so solid in the knowledge-wise, that we are really able to use our knowledge to teach the people. We are really able that to attract the people to come by all your good beings. Let us have faith and build up the church. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you to set up church on earth. In church, that we are going to help build up ourselves, that we can strengthen our relationship with you and strengthen the relationship with brother and sister. With those good relationships with you and with brothers and sisters, then we are ready for more people to come. We ask you, Lord, to help us to build up the church. But we ask you, Lord, to help us first to build up ourselves, that we are not lazy again that in your word, that we are so enthusiastic to learn about your word. Okay? The Bible is the word that you leave for us. That we ask you, Lord, to help us, to give us the wisdom that we can understand your word, because we know that your word can change the world, and your word can help us to build the church. And most importantly, we ask you, Lord, that to remind us that all the time you are good, and you are with us all the time, and you ask us, okay, not to leave you. Okay, we are here to build up the church, to get more people to get into the kingdom of God. We ask you, Lord, to help us that we really able to attract more people by our good being and also by our knowledge of your word. We thank you for today that you give us the message, that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.